Aleluia, aleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, Then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, For men, this is impossible. For God, all things are possible. Then Peter said to him in reply, We have given up everything to follow you. What will there be for us? Jesus said to them, Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last be first. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel we have the continuation of the scene of the rich young man from yesterday. And just as when Jesus described the beauty of the indissolubility of marriage, the apostle's first reaction was, then it's inexpedient for us to marry if we've got to be married to the same old bag of wind the whole rest of our life. And Jesus described that there is a gift also of celibacy, but could be the gift of fidelity in marriage too. But today when Jesus describes how we need to be able to be detached from everything in order to be able to follow him, how we are to use all that God has given us to spend it on those who don't have it, to spend our talents, to spend our money, to spend our time with those who need it. Jesus describes that when we're too attached to the things of this world, we can't pass toward heaven. It's a saying of a famous man, I forget exactly who said it, but when he went in to a famous chateau and looked around at the whole way it was set on up and how beautiful it was, just simply said, these are the things that would make it very difficult to die. When we're surrounded by so many of the good things in this world, we can make them gods. We can become too attached to them that we can't leave them behind. We become too used to them. And that's why attaching ourselves more and more to the Lord, so that we can relativize all our earthly attachments and gradually detach from them, is a truly essential practice. But Jesus says something that we have to take seriously, especially here in the United States. You know, most of the time, the vast majority of people in the world think that they're poor because they can always point to the Warren Buffetts, to the Bill Gates, to the Arab sheiks of the world. But here in the United States, almost everybody's rich. Everybody who's receiving a welfare check, in comparison to the vast majority of people here in the world today, are rich. What does it mean to be rich in Old Testament times? It meant every meal that you had, you were going to eat. It meant that you had a pretty nice place where you could lay your head. Many of the poor today in the United States even have high-definition televisions, even have automobiles. Most are rich, and we can get attached to those riches. Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye and for one who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. And that provokes, on the part of the disciples, an honest question. We have to love their honest questions. Then who can be saved? It was seeming to make such a high bar. If I'm going to be detached from all these goods, how can I make it? The Lord Jesus replies, all things are possible for God. That in order to detach ourselves from the things of this world, in order to attach ourselves to God, to eternity, to heaven, to the Father's home, God's going to give us the grace. All we need to do is correspond to that grace. He will make this possible. And He has so many times. And you are meant to be an icon in the middle of the world of how the grace of the Lord does, in fact, make this possible. But the world some of the times needs other witnesses of what God makes possible. And that's why the story of Gideon from the first reading is so inspiring. Imagine if the angel of the Lord were to come to us each morning and say, "The Lord is with you, O champion." I used to say that in seminary and nobody knew what I was saying. "The Lord is with you, O champion. The Lord is with us." And look at who Gideon was, right? The least likely person ever to fight against the Midianites. How can I save Israel? My family is the lowest in Manasseh. I'm the most significant in my father's house. His people were low. His family was low. He was the lowest in his family. But as St. Paul will describe in the first chapter of his first letter to Corinthians, God chooses the weak to shame the strong, the nobodies, to bring down the somebodies. So the Lord chose the least likely and made him a great champion. Because the Lord would be with them. And that's only the start. You know, some of the times we can feel overwhelmed by the odds stacked against us. The culture's going in the wrong direction, not the right direction. The nuns, the N-O-N-E-S, are trumping the nuns, the N-U-N-S, by vast orders of magnitude. And yet, what does the Lord do with Gideon? He first gets all of the people of Manasseh up to go against the Midianites and their 135,000 soldiers. And unfortunately, we're not going to read it at Mass. I would encourage you to turn to Judges 6 and read it for yourself, because it's such an inspirational story. But then God said, anybody who doesn't want to fight, let them leave. God wants them fighting. So almost everybody in Manasseh quits because they were cowardly. They were left with only 10,000. And then God still said, too much. Against the 135,000 trained warriors of the Midianites, way too much. He said, have them go down and drink and watch how they drink from the river. And they went down. And everybody who laughed like dogs was cut from the team, such that those who were cupping were the only ones who would be kept. And there were only 300 of them. 300 against 135,000. But because the 300 were with the Lord, the 300 were being led by a mighty champion, they routed the Midianites. Some of the times you might wonder, what are 12 or 13 versus all of Planned Parenthood's tens of millions of dollars? What are just a whole bunch of committed women with some hard-working co-workers against the devil and all his principalities and powers, drawing people to make such terrible choices? It's enough. Enough. How about just a few faithful Catholics across the entire world? It's enough. We're with the Lord. He You know, I've never forgotten something that the devil said to St. John Vianney. And you know, the great theological question is, can the devil ever say anything true? Can you believe anything the devil says? Don't know, but he did say some true things in the gospel. Blurting out from a possessed man, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." He can say some true things. Once he said to St. John Vianney, "If there were three of you, my kingdom would be destroyed." There were two other John Viennes at the time, in the middle of the 1800s, anywhere throughout the whole rest of the world. Satan was claiming that his kingdom would have been over. I tend to think that the devil was telling the truth. I don't think the devil was trying to tempt John Vianney's pride. You know, when I preach to priests, when I preach to seminarians, I ponder that fact. And if you take the devil's word for it here, he's far more frightened of three holy priests than the other 440,000 priests on the planet who are merely just good. Nothing's impossible for God. One person with the Lord versus millions, the odds are even, provided that we really allow the Lord to work in us. The Lord looks at each of us and he says, "Lord, I am with you, mighty champion. If you allow me to work in you, all things are possible. All things." The particular types of defects that you've been battling against, nothing compared to what I can do. Let's just think back to what the Lord did with 11 relative nobodies. If we want to add the 12th serious traitor, we can. But he changed the entire history of the world. The amazing thing the Lord will be able to do out of his combat is every morning he does come and strengthen us with his power in order to make us in, through, and with him new Gideons, totally unafraid of the odds. And every morning, to make sure that this is true, we bring before the Lord not meat and unleavened cakes, not just bread and wine that's transformed into Jesus' body and blood. We also bring ourselves, so that we might be transformed into his own mystical body, that mystical body that not even death by ignominious crucifixion could suppress. At the very end of today's gospel reading, Peter asks another honest question. "We've given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Peter was discouraged. We can all be discouraged at times too. He had given up so much and they counted that cost and they had begun to doubt whether they were still going to be able to fit through the eye of the needle, because no matter how much they had given up, they still had some difficulties with earthly attachments. And the Lord Jesus very encouragingly said, swearing an oath, "Amen, I say to you, you who have followed me in the new age will receive 100 times more and inherit eternal life." It's important for us, in order to keep our joy, that we remember what the Lord has promised in his word we can bank on. 100 times more. But yes, when we give up a worldly family of our own, the Lord will give us 100 times more. Not just of what we would have had in this world. 100 times more than Abraham. Than Abraham. Many nations. When we've given up our own autonomy, we will receive so much more freedom, freedom from so many of the other things that even though we're calling all the shots, aren't liberated from. We'll receive 100 times more true wealth. The type of stuff that the IRS can't tax, that rust can't corrode, that moths can't eat. And we'll receive eternal life. An incredible payback for our willingness to leave other things behind and cling to the one who comes here for us each day. As we prepare to receive the victor over sin and death, the one who has triumphed, the Lamb who is seated on his eternal throne, we receive the one who will fill us with that hundredfold even today. Make us his mighty champions, despite all our own weaknesses, despite our own history, despite our own family upbringing, despite it all, he will make us mighty champions. And then bring us to that place with the apostles, with all the saints, where we will rejoice in that amazing triumph forever. This is our faith. It's the faith of the church. How proud we are to profess it. Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.